Take your Bibles, everybody, and open them up, and we're going to go to your favorite verse. Just kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know, honestly, the last 12 months, for those of us in Harbor Light Fellowship, have been a year full of ups and downs. Reverend Jerry Carr, who is the leader of Harbor Light Fellowship, has been in and out of the hospital and could have died. But by God's grace and mercy, he's alive, and there was a miracle in his life. And so it's been a lot, and it's been a lot especially for the people that are close to him and friends with him and related to him. And, you know, so by God's grace, you know, he has healing, and it's just a really wonderful victory for God. You know, but life is full of challenges, isn't it? It's full of ups and downs and all this. You know, on the positive side, and something that's been tremendous, you know, besides Jerry's healing, is God's word has grown. It's grown in individuals, and people have grown this year a lot in various ways. We've seen the outreach of the word more in New Jersey and in other states, and as you can see today in other countries like Bolivia, like Ecuador, and other countries like the Philippines even. So, but that's just part of life. Life has its challenges, and we have an adversary, and we have bodies. And our bodies sometimes get older, you know, but we have a God who is faithful and who delivers. You know, the problems and the situations that we have now, you know, some of them, the issues that we have in life, quote unquote, are not unlike the situations that happened in the first century church. Paul was getting older, and he needed to raise up new leadership. The word of God needed to continue to move, and right doctrine needed to continue to be maintained. The mystery was under attack, and people tried to replace the grace of God with legalism. You know, the books of 1 and 2 Timothy were written after the book of Acts, and Paul was getting older, and he wrote to a leader, a younger man, who was named Timothy. And Timothy had quite a bit of leadership experience. However, he was much younger than Paul. And these are what we call pastoral epistles, where they're written to a leader. The book of Titus is also a pastoral epistle. You know, Paul had a special relationship with Timothy. You know, Paul called Timothy his son, didn't he? And that was like a term of endearment, right? And like in Bible times, the father was in the same business as the son, or the son as the father. So Paul's business was to move God's word, and Timothy was like a son to him. You know, like we may say something similar today. For example, Taito calls me Papa. Now, I hope that's a term of endearment. And I want to tell you honestly, it's a figure of speech and not literally true to fact. We're going to look at something in Timothy today where there's some words that are repeated five times in the Greek text in Timothy and Titus. And that are the words that mean the word is faithful. These are, they occur four times in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and one in Titus. The word is faithful, and that's what the words mean in the Greek. And it's repeated, and it's a figure, and it like adds emphasis to where it you know, appears. And it kind of connects that which is before to that which follows. You know, in our society today, we can trust in people, we can trust in governments, we can trust in sports teams, boyfriends, money, economy. There's so many different things. But as time goes on and as we grow in God's word, we realize that we really need to put our whole trust in God's Word. And as we grow up in the Word of God, that's where our trust should lie, in God and His Word. So today we're going to look at the Word is faithful. God is trustworthy and we can trust Him. God is faithful and His Word is faithful, and we can be faithful to Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15, how many of you have new Bibles? Raise your hand. Okay, I will not call on you. I've learned something today, just to being honest here. I always learn something around Elkie. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This is a faithful saying. The word saying is a word in the Greek logos, which means word. So we could translate this, instead of "this is a faithful saying," we could translate this, "the word is faithful." The word is faithful. God's word is faithful, and it's worthy of all acceptance. It's suitable. It's faithful, therefore we ought to accept it. Say I needed a mortgage on my house. I want to buy a house, and I need to find a banker. Okay, say I found, let's see here, Banker Bill Meininger. Where is he? Is Bill in? He's in the listening post. Okay, say Bill was a banker, and I needed some money. And I went to Bill the banker and I said, "Bill, I want some money. I want a mortgage." He might do something immediately, and that he would run my credit, right? He would run my credit to see if I was worthy, to see if I had the right background, to see if I was faithful in paying my bills in the past. And if he ran my credit and I was okay, you get this, Erica, right? And then what happened was he would say, "Okay, I've accepted you because it seems like your word is faithful." Here it says here, "This is a faithful saying," or "the word is faithful and worthy of all acceptance." It's worthy of our acceptance because it's faithful. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of our acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So here we have, in this context, God's word is faithful and it's worthy of our acceptance. And what is the word here? "That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Word of God, the Word is faithful. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. And that's a big deal that we can base our life upon, that we have salvation by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12 it says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly in unbelief, that the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." So he was saved by grace. This is the word is faithful and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." You know, did Paul hurt God's people?
Yes.
He did. You know, should we forgive people if they hurt people? Looks like God did that, didn't he? He forgave the Apostle Paul. So this is the word. It's worthy of all acceptance. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. And Paul was the chief in that he was a leader of the persecution. And we have that in our own life today. We have eternal life. We can take that to the bank. It's worthy of all acceptance. Let's take a look. We're only going to cover three of these. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Another occurrence of the word is faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 9. 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 9. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Or we could translate it from the Greek, "The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptance." So let's take a look at the context now of what goes on around this, and we'll see this in a clearer way. Let's take a look at verse 8. Who likes to exercise? Okay. All right, Danny, why don't you stand up and read verse 8, but read it so everybody could hear it, okay? Even people in the next building. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come."
Okay. So bodily exercise profits a little, or for a little while. It profits for a little while. But godliness, who knows what godliness is? Godliness. Lance?
Godliness is a real, true, vital, living, and spiritual relationship with God.
That's right. A vital and true spiritual relationship with God. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Bodily exercise profits a little or a little while, but godliness here, it says, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. If we have a godly relationship, if we have godliness now, is there profit in our life now? Sure, because we live the abundant life. We believe God. We have a relationship. There's great blessings to our life now. But this verse goes even farther. It says, having a promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Our godliness, our true and vital spiritual relationship with God, not only profits us now, but it's profitable to us when? In the future. So in the future, we're going to have rewards. When we live our life like this, when we have godliness now, in the future, we'll have rewards. And that's really cool. You know, somebody once said in relation to going to heaven, you can get in the front door or you can get in the kitchen. And the life that we live now will be rewarded in the future for the things that we do now. So it says here, for bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I think so. Verse 9, the word is faithful and worthy of all acceptance. So in the context, what is that talking about? It's talking about eternal life. And as we do things now, as we have godliness, we will be rewarded in the future. The word is faithful. You can base your life on that. That godliness is not only for now, but in the future. That's the hope that we have. Now watch this. Verse 10. It says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust, or we hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. we hope or trust in the living God, what's the context? The context is we have eternal life and we'll be rewarded for the godliness that we have. That's fantastic. The word is faithful. We could take that to the bank. You know, sometimes, and it says we can labor. You know, being a leader or being a mature believer, sometimes, or any kind of person in life, sometimes the quote unquote shit hits the fan. How do we deal with that? Do we go and do something stupid? Or one thing that we can do is think about the hope of Christ's return. In this context, it says, look at verse 10 again, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach." Why? Because we have hope and the word is faithful. We have hope and the word is faithful. He's coming back. So the things that we do now, it's not only to bless people or so we have a life now, but in the future, we'll be rewarded for the godliness that we have. The word is faithful. That's why we could keep going. That's why we can, you know, take the heat sometimes, because we know we have eternal life and he's coming back. Our life has a greater scope than right now. The word of God is faithful and we can live it. I want to play a little game with you, okay? When I go like that, I want you to say, "He's coming back," okay? Now let's just practice this so that we get this down. Okay, now, when I go like that, you say, "He's coming back." Ready?
He's coming back.
You could do that louder. Come on.
He's coming back.
That was pretty good. One more time.
He's coming back.
If you've had a bad day,
he's coming back.
If you've had a terrible year,
he's coming back.
If you can't find your place in the Bible,
he's coming back.
If the minister gets in your face and reproves you,
he's coming back.
On the more serious side, if you have trouble finding a job and the money is tight,
he's coming back.
If you've lost a loved one or somebody that you're close to is hurt,
he's coming back.
If the people that you like don't like you,
he's coming back.
Is that true?
Yes.
If the food at the Day in the Word sucks, 2 Timothy chapter 2. To have a scope of the hope is something that we need. It keeps us going. 2 Timothy, at the time Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he knew that his death was coming soon. And he was communicating a lot of wonderful, simple truths to Timothy, who was a leader in the church, who he had taught and, you know, done many, many things with. Some of the most simple foundational truths in God's word that we use all the time are in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Remember that one? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You guys know that one. In 2 Timothy, why? Because Paul knew that his death was near. And what was he driving home in Timothy's mind? It's the word, the word, the word, and nothing but the word. Study that word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 11 it says, "It is a faithful saying," or "the word is faithful, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a chapter that deals with the characteristics of a faithful minister in the church. Let's just read one before we read this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what?
Grace.
Grace that's in Christ Jesus. A minister, a faithful believer needs to be strong in grace, not legalism. Another characteristic here. Let's take a look at verse 8. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's a cool thing a minister who's worth anything should do. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul had been in prison, and actually he was in prison right then when he read it. He was in bonds, but the word of God was not bound. Paul was in prison, but the word of God was not. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Did Paul do that in his life? He sure took a stand for the believers. And he's teaching Timothy here. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain salvation. You know, wholeness, deliverance, the full ride there of salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He took a stand. He took the heat. He took the pressure. He fought for God's people so they could have wholeness, so they could have deliverance. Why? The word is faithful. For if we be dead with him, guess what? We're also going to what? Live with him. So he knew he had eternal life and he dwelled on it. Here it says, verse 12, for if we suffer, we shall also what? Reign. Again, the things that we do in this life when we stand, when we walk out of the love of God, will be rewarded for. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So in this context then, in 2 Timothy and in 1 Timothy, Paul repeats this line, the word is faithful. He repeats it to a man who had a lot of responsibility in the church. And he was driving it in his mind, and this word, these words, the word is faithful, appeared in some very interesting context. One was that Jesus Christ came into the world so he could save sinners, and that includes all of us. In another context, it talks about how that we had eternal life and that he was coming back. Therefore, we can labor. We don't have to labor because people like us or because I need food or whatever. We labor because we know he's coming back and we can keep going. Sometimes life sucks. Whether you're a believer or not, sometimes we have an adversary, don't we? We have a world. We have stuff. Nobody ever told you when you first went to fellowship that everything, your life would be absolutely happy every single day. But you know what? We know he's coming back and he is faithful to reward us for the things we do for him. That's a scope of the hope. You ever go to a movie with your friend and your friend tells you the ending before you go to the movie? And what a friend, you know? And then you're sitting in the movie and the movie, it's not all that exciting because you know it's a happy ending, though. So you know it's a happy ending, even though they're like beating the crap out of each other and doing all this really terrible things. It's not all that like emotional and gut-wrenching and hurtful because you know, it's going to be okay at the end. And that's okay when we go to the movies because we trust the word of our friend. You know, our life isn't necessarily a movie, but at the end of our life, when Christ comes back, it's a happy ending. It's a happy ending, so you know what? That freaking out and twisting and gut-wrenching thing, it's not as bad. You know why? Because we know there's a happy ending. And when we think about the happy ending in our life, it makes it a lot easier to take some of the curveballs the adversary throws at us. And finally, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. The word is faithful, and we're to be faithful. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the legalism and condemnation that's in Christ Jesus, and you'll be really happy all the days of your life. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The word is faithful, and we're to commit that word to faithful men, whether they live here in the United States or in other places around the world. The word is faithful. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and Paul said that he was chief. The word is faithful. Godliness is for now and for the future. We can work hard knowing that he's coming back and will be rewarded in the future. The word is faithful. We can endure all things for the salvation of God's people, knowing that he's coming back and will be rewarded. The word is faithful. We can be faithful and be committed to God's word because we know that his word is faithful. You know, life changes sometimes very rapidly. My hair is changing color very rapidly. People sometimes come and go in our lives. Circumstances change in our lives. Outside temperature, economies, and romances blow hot and cold. People, sometimes even leaders, blow hot and cold on God's word. Yet, the word of God is faithful. The word of God is faithful, and it's worthy to be accepted. So let's base our life on God's word. Let's accept it. Let's trust it. Let's believe it. And let's move God's word here in New Jersey and other places around the world. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do for us. And thank you for the greatness of your word, which you've given us. Thank you that we can base our lives upon your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.